And how much is available in the grant?
Well, we were 21 and we're making 18. If we just got 21.
What do we have in it for just materials?
I don't have that breakout with me. I left it down there.
I don't think it really matters. We've got to finish the project.
Right. Yep.
We always do a project or two in the summer, and this may be the project that we'll do.
I think, though, that if we can do it and just kind of move forward when we do have a project like this, if we can kind of just try to pull a better number together going into it, so that we know really what that project is going to cost. And because as it is now, we're going to be using the hard pack. I mean, in my mind, that's how I see it. So you're going to take the 1,000-ton hard pack and put 1,000-ton hard pack down, and we've got spots all through the town could use it. So, I mean, if we could do that
going forward,
budget reasons, yeah.
Yeah, definitely figure out what the price is going to cost before we do it. It's not going to affect how much we would have gotten out of the grant, but we wouldn't know.
We would have known exactly what it was going to be.
I think it was kind of take the money that we can get, and we knew the project had to be done anyways.
Right. The other alternative would be they gave us a certain amount of money, period, whether we spent $60,000 or the $20,000. So one of the choices we could have made was to just use the $20,000 and then stop. Now that doesn't make any sense. Let's finish it and get the hell out of there and not have to go back there. So I agree with that. But we didn't get more money because we got the maximum they let us have.
Yep.
So just wanted to be clear about that.
Well, when we go forward with that grant that is available for this year, we ought to.
Yeah.
Where we figure out where that's going to go, we'll do a little finer pencil.
And then I guess what we've got an issue with it. You want to talk about the grading there and grader or something like that?
Grader hours, yep. Yeah, it was brought up at the last meeting or meeting before last that the 500 hour maintenance didn't get done. I was the one that nixed it, and I'd like to just, see what the logs look like. How long ago did it hit the 500 mark? And because I know it probably hasn't had 350 hours in the last 2 years put on it. So it's been a while. It's
a little less.
When did it hit 500?
I don't know. When I got down there, it had 805 hours last summer. So.
Since it's been maintained or total hours?
Since the last time it serviced all the filters that were rolled out on it, set the hours on it, and I took the hours off from it that was on it. And it came up to 805 hours. That's the last time you gave it a service. But in that, you guys did the valve cover gasket or the head gasket.
Head gasket.
And they changed the motor oil in it. And they changed the motor oil in it at 620 hours. With the change. But that is strictly, that's the only thing that they did to it. And so, and when you ask about trying to figure out, the way I kind of took it was you were looking for the 500 hour. You know, how many hours a year? And I'm not, but like, since I've been here, I put 150 hours on it. So, it's going to be ready, I mean, as far as I can tell, it's going to be ready for another service come fall, if it keeps racking in like
that. Right. Okay, well, the implication was that I had mixed the maintenance on it, and 500-hour maintenance, and I wanted to find out when that happened, because that was a standard that I was not aware of, and so I never skimped on maintenance ever. You can ask John if he could back me up that whenever something needs to be done, I always said, send it, get it done. So I just asked a question.
All I did is I asked a question down there because I felt that it was
I understand.
All the hours on it. And,
yep.
And moving forward here, I just, and on Scott, what Scott has said, I hope that. There seems to be, when I took this job on, there might have been some tension between you and her. And I hope that we're moving forward, that tension can go away.
Yeah, personally, I don't think what happened yet in the past and whether or not who said about what and when it was serviced and shouldn't be serviced and all of that. But
needs to go.
To me, it doesn't matter at this point. What matters to me is that it's been serviced, right?
Yep.
And then it continues to be serviced as correct and that.
Yep.
And that's all that happens at this point. We're just going to go this way. We're not going to worry about what's back there.
Yep. That's what I'm looking for.
I do think it's time to just move on. You're absolutely right.
And then the other thing that I did have was they came up and they serviced the loader too. And they actually came because they found like a punch list with it. And so he just gave me this. And that's a quote on what they're going to do. But mainly the steering pistons on the loader, one of them's leaking pretty good on it. And you know what I mean? And they said that they take it off and repack it, what they suggested on the other side too. And he said if you lose the steering on it, and one of the pistons, you lost your steering, and who knows what's going to happen. And so then there was a few other little things on there that they found. So a gasket on the rocker arm cover was leaking, a little motor oil coming out of that and stuff. And so I asked them to put my place together on what the cost would be to take that out.
As far as the cylinders, I strongly recommend that they both get fixed, because if one's going, the other one's not far behind it, and it's cheaper to have it done once and for all. So that's my input on that.
I would move that we spend the money to get it serviced and fixed properly. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so we do that service. Anything else in your report?
I've got a couple things for you. What are your thoughts on when we spoke, whenever it was, a while back, one of the priorities you mentioned was ditching. And so I'd like to get a sense from you, like, where we're at and where you see the highest priorities in terms of, like, where's the worst parts of town that need attention?
I'll be honest with you, okay, so they've been down here, they're doing this project down here, and I've been trying to let them try to get that project resolved as much as we can. Yeah. But with that being said, I haven't been able to really do any ditching. I can honestly say I have not been on a road yet that doesn't need to be ditched. And I just was talking to the guys the other day about it, that when we get this project done, I'm going to have to take a break in between so that we can get around and start pulling some ditches out and getting it so that you can take care of it. Because as it is right now, a lot of the roads, when I have to grade them, even though there's a ditch there, there's sod, there's this stuff. And so I have to poke cutouts in to even get to the ditch, and I shouldn't have to be doing it, but I have no other means to get rid of it.
Right.
To try to save the surface of the road the best I can right now, I'm just trying to make do it until we get cleaned up.
Right.
Yeah, no, we need to get going on it for sure.
So basically it's everywhere.
It is a lot. I mean, I started up here on my grading Barber Hill yesterday, and then I started to pull some ditches on the lower end of plowland to where I knew I could get rid of it here and there, but it's amazing how much there is there to get rid of. So.
Just as a point of reference, when I applied for the grant last year, Wild Apple was second, and Wild Apple Rudge Road were the two that I was looking at. So,
Wild Apple,
the top part of Wild Apple. I saw you on Wild Apple there.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you were over there.
So, we had started last summer. Down at the bottom, we worked our way up, I guess maybe up past Kevin Rice's, but then we got distracted on the storms or whatever. But anyway, Wild Apple would be one to consider when you're driving around, because that was my second.
I went up there, actually, I went up and looked at it all and whatnot, and it all needs, the whole road does. You know? Mm-hmm. And there's a situation where I have no place to get rid of it. I can't do anything
right
with it, so I need to.
Yep.
I actually talked to Nelson up there and told him that once we get through that, where we can get some ditching, I'd come over there, grade the road, and do it.
Neil, is the exploratory call scheduled for FEMA?
Monday.
Have you heard anything from FEMA when we're going to get that in the money?
The contracts are all signed. It's just a matter of.
Should we call them?
I don't know that they're doing it. Should we call them? I mean, the contracts all just got signed last week, so. That's a state contract. The FEMA stuff's been done for a while.
Anything else?
I got something for Jimmy, actually. Project that should be addressed in the near future. Unfortunately, the more I keep driving by it and looking at it, although there was great thought put into it and stuff, the project that Frank did down on Webster Hill, we're going to have to change that. That's a huge, huge safety issue.
I
see it being a maintenance issue going forward. I mean, if a vehicle falls in there, whether it be a town truck or a private vehicle, you're going to lift them out of there. You're not pulling them out of there.
It's going to be a lot of damage.
It's the way it is. We spend a lot of money there. Every time we get a storm, we, you know, it gets washed out. We got to do something.
It was a creative idea, but, you know, I lived there for 27 years. And the reason why I took it out this time is, like many other roads, time restraints of not getting the maintenance done and the ditches cleaned. That ditch was level with the road, so when the water came out of the culvert, it blew out into the road and took the road out.
Well, it's a candidate. It had to be stone lined. There's no way around that.
And I don't fault the armoring, but as deep as that is right now, you are.
No.
And it doesn't meet, it's not state standards either. So, and it narrowed the road up, and it's now, plus when you start getting snow and you got to put more markers in there, it's going to be less than a one-lane road.
Same complaints when we widen even Bartlett Brook. Everybody hates something new, and, you know, Bartlett Brook, they scream and holler because everybody was going to be in and stuff, and, you know, it's something new, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, to tell you the truth. I'd like to see it run for a while and go through a storm and see if it holds up.
It's a major issue. Major safety issue.
Keith?
If you don't do something with it, you better put guardrails up.
Absolutely. I travel that road every day.
And the way it is right now, granted, if they put more hardpack on it, it's going to raise the road up. But if they don't, which when you put more hardpack, it's going to make the road even narrower. And if you don't put more hardpack on it, when they come up through with the wings and all that stone, that stone wall is going to be right in the ditch. And that was during the FEMA, and I'd be surprised if they would cover it, because it's not what we used in the past.
Did you say Chris Bump was coming to look at the Galaxy Hill thing?
Yep.
Why don't you take him over to Wild Apple to have him suggest a way to fix that? That's his job.
Over to Wild Apple?
Webster Hill, I'm sorry. The issue they're talking about.
Can you do that?
Get his opinion on it. That's his job.
Would you like for me to do that, Adam?
Yeah. I'll go with you. I'd like to hear what he had to say. Anything else, Jim? Can we move on to truck RFP? Have you looked at that? Well, we need to get this RFP out, so let's discuss the RFP. That was John's and Steve's part.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it at all?
No, other than the original.
The one that I did. So nothing's changed. It's the same as that. The only thing that just got added to it was your recommendation of disc brakes, which is a good idea, and the outside control, so when you're hooking the plow up and hooking the wings up, that you don't have to have multiple people involved.
So other than that, is it okay? Okay, so if that RP is ready for prime time, we need a vote on that. That means we're going to ask for a proposal on a 10-wheeler, 2-wheel drive. Yes?
That's what is in the RFP. Other thing to do is make an actual appropriate pump for it. Cover sheet for it.
If you go back in on the SharePoint,
yeah.
You can usually pull out some of Jonathan's proposals.
Yeah.
There's quite a few in there, and then you can get a cover sheet and everything you need. And so when do you want to have that RFP put out? And if we're going to vote for that, and when do you want that to come in? I have on the sand RFP that I put together that you've also got to discuss. We were going to put that out today, and we would deal with that on August 7th. That's the first next select board meeting.
Yeah. Just make a comment that maybe when you put this RFP out, you could have it so they price it for one truck or versus two trucks. Because I've been hearing a lot of, as I've come to these meetings, that a lot of our trucks have issues, constant recurring issues, and see if maybe when they give their pricing, if they give us a deal about two for one kind of thing, and have them price it both ways, and then you can make a decision whether you're going to just do one or two, because my understanding, it takes a while to get a truck, so we're already kind of behind. Maybe we just get bite the bullet and kind of catch up a little bit and cut our repair bills down.
Won't do
I was actually going to recommend that.
It won't do any harm to us.
Once we approve the RFP, because there was supposed to have been a purchase last year for a truck and then one this year, and we're going to be lucky now to have trucks before March or April, I'm sure.
Well, I thought it was my understanding that these two-wheel drive trucks might get here earlier.
They're more available, but the problem is getting outfit.
It's more like 6 months instead of 12 months.
Yeah. Well, anything's better than nothing.
Yeah.
So we need to make a decision on this RFP. Do you want to ask for a price for two trucks or one truck or
only
both options?
Do we want to have a pretty big conference?
This was your RFP to deal with. You tell me.
I mean, do you want to do a Q&A?
It wouldn't. I mean, I know we want to get it done, but it wouldn't hurt to have the reps be able to come in and ask us questions.
I mean, you.
I don't know.
I think I would put it out the bid. I mean, we're being quite specific on how we want it to fit, so it's not going to leave much discussion or question as to the vehicle.
And it doesn't matter to me, it's just a...
We can get the bids in and then we can query the individual providers after they put a bid in.
If you ask them in, they're just going to come and give you their sales pitch.
Might be on the back.
You know, I mean, that's what it
is.
Most of the questions they're going to have asked you is going to be operator preference. Like, how do you want the levers, if you put levers in the truck versus joysticks, what order do you want those levers in? And that's all up to whoever the operator is going to be.
And that you determine after you got it ordered, as you got it ordered anyway?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, that's how you usually do it. And once you put out the bid and then it's the price, you put everything in it, and then the stuff moving, stuff around and doing whatever, however it's got to be, as they go along with it, they communicate back and forth with the owner.
The only thing to be specialized is the shifting, because some of them you can't get the automatic off the dash. And one feature we talked about was having that the automatic is you've got to lean ahead and reach into the dash to change gears. And there's a company that, one of them, that they'll put it right by the operator's hand, which is less of a distraction than those.
I have it preferred to be on the steering column.
Okay.
So do we have a motion as to whether we want to put this RFP out? And if so, when do we want to send it out and publish it, and when do we want it back?
It'll take a little more time, I would imagine.
I think it'll take more time than the same.
How much time do we want to give for something like this long?
So if we got that out, do you think that you could get that out by the 22nd?
Is that next week?
That's next Monday.
Oh, probably.
If you can send it to me and I can email it to them.
Okay, and then that would make it that the second meeting in August is going to be on the 21st. So we would have it come in on the 21st of August. Yes, at a regular meeting.
And I think I'd also put it in there for pricing for two, just so we know where we might stand. With what these trucks are costing us down there, if the numbers are right, I think it'd be a smart move.
Well, there's nothing in this RFP that's committing us to buy anything. So, I move that we publish this RFP on the 22nd of July and have it come in on, the proposals come in by noon on the 21st of August, and that we price for two trucks.
Is it both one and two, or just two? Or are they going to break it down with one? With, they'll break it down, right?
They'll break it down.
Break it down.
Make that specific.
So that motion needs a second. Is anybody's willing? And we'll get to vote on that motion. All those in favor of publishing the RFP on the 22nd of July and having it come due on the 21st of August at noon for a 10-wheeler truck, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now we've got a sand RFP, which I included in the packet. This was for at your this was at your our discussion the other day for 3,000 tons of regular sand. That is going to be published, if you so desire and approve it, on July 17 to come in on 8-7, which is the next regular meeting. This is only for regulation sand. This is not for aggregate prices or manufactured sand, which we'll have to deal with. So I need a motion on that.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Were there any questions? Sorry. Any opposed? So we have a sand RFP. I will get that out tomorrow. Town garage repairs I have next on the agenda. Jimmy's going to talk to somebody about the GFI outlets. And I called, emailed, and got a reply from Tom Mullen of Black Box Roofing. He's going to come down hopefully this week. He thought he'd get there and take a look and see what he can do with those two or three sheets that are, some of them are kind of screwed up on the bottom and they're pulled apart. One's got a hole in it. I don't know whether he'll have to repair total sheets or half sheets, but he's going to take a look. The soffit underneath that needs to be fixed as well. Do I have the authority to get John Syme to come down there and just replace that soffit where it is broken so that if we get a roofer in there, they can have something to hook the roof to? That's what we need, right?
And I did cut that other tree.
Pardon?
The other tree. That was
you cut it? And there was another tree hanging over, and I asked Jimmy if he would cut that at some point. I guess he already did. So if we get the roof repaired, that repair will have to come. We'll have to decide whether we want to accept that bid or not. I have no idea. Roofers are kind of hard to get at this time of year, and I figured if I could get him to come, that would be good. He does a good job. But anyway, I can't imagine it would cost over $500 to get the soffit fixed. Do I have the authority, and would you make a motion so that I can get John Syme to fix that? Hopefully before somebody fixes the roof.
So,
second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Galaxy Hill Culvert I had on here. We're still in limbo on that, so we don't need to discuss that anymore?
Yeah, not until he comes and we'll see him.
Okay. In the packet that you all got were two crack ceilings. Proposals, one from Indus and one from Nikon, and I think we need to accept one of these and get somebody coming while it's still warm.
Where are they going to be cresting?
That's up for Jimmy to determine.
So just we've got a bunch of spots, right?
I'm sure we won't get the whole thing that needs to be done with $25,000, even close. Right?
They take care of the best trade than first.
Yep.
Nikon gave me a proposal for $43.50 per day, and
the other one's a higher per day rate.
So that's right. And so, excuse me.
Does that mean they're doing with that higher day rate? Does that mean they're doing less overall?
The pricing includes up to 300 gallons per day. We've had Nikon do it before. I'm not proficient in crack sealing. Did you see these, Jim? My guess would be if we're going for a day rate, we'd be better off to go with the cheaper one, but.
Somebody's days 6 hours and the other one's 10.
I assume it's an 8 hour day.
Where do you see 6 hours?
I see
3 days.
No, I'm saying unless somebody's a 6.
Oh,
gotcha. I know Nikon's always
made a
good job.
Nikon. And I think if we get them scheduled now, they'll get here before the 1st of November. We really need to protect the baby.
I make a motion to go with Nikon to be correct. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And this is $43.50 per day. Do we want to spend the full $25,000 that we have budgeted?
I would think so.
Yep. As much as we do the math.
Well, as much as the bid was not to exceed $25,000.
So it's 5 days?
Yep.
Yeah.
So is that okay?
Last time they worked for us, it was $4,000 a day, and they worked for 6 days and for $24,000.
Anyway, so I will get back to him and say he's got the bid. Or I will sign this and send it in the book.
Roughly, do you know how far they went with it?
No, I don't remember, Jim.
Art, do you have any clues?
No. They might. They possibly would do about half the town.
Well, we won't do anything on Powell Hill. Right. We won't do anything on the 2 miles we're going to pay, or almost 2 miles.
Right. If you're going to pay for the summer, it doesn't make sense.
So that's that's 5 miles there. We've only got 12 miles of pavement, is that right? 13, 14. Anyway, I'll send it back. Okay, we got that done. Highway garage insurance. We need a decision on that.
That was
my question was, are contents already covered?
I thought they were.
Well, maybe and maybe not, but it doesn't really matter. The building is not covered. The building is not even on their schedule.
It's not?
It is not. Because he was quite incredulous that it was there. And then when he got to the salt shed, he was even more incredulous.
So this is Wayne or
Wade Mazur. So it is definitely not on their schedule of buildings because he visited all the town buildings.
Okay.
So I need a motion.
We can discuss it after. I think the debt should, just so we can make sure that it's clear that the contents are covered too.
Absolutely.
The salt shed, probably not going to catch on fire. The biggest thing is probably, if it fell in from a snow load. You know what the deductible is? Because the biggest thing is the cross beams up overhead get hit with a loader. But, the deductible is $1,000. I'm not sure.
I have no idea what they sent to build. Do you have any idea, Leo? Were you on the board at that time? No. I have no idea what it cost to build it.
What? The Salisbury?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
If this were my own business, I might do something differently. This is a town asset, and I feel that we should insure it. Now, that being said, I don't have any great affinity for any of it. It's your choice as a board.
Just asking the question, really, what's the deductible and you know, whether it's worth it or not. It's not like it has any electricity or flammable liquids or anything like that. It's more than a need. Some kind of traumatic structural damage.
I'll make a motion that we have and insure the both their town assets, and I think we have responsibility to share what we have. So.
I'll second that.
All those, any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, I will get hold of the insurance people. Easement repeater on the tower. Kevin, I emailed you. I spoke with Phil Deckard. He's working on the front easement. And he had a question. Thank you, Jim. Hope you feel better. He had a question. Was this repeater, this addition to the repeater thing, is that going to make another tower or just another bump on the tower?
It will be. My understanding is going to share the antenna that's there.
So no new antenna?
No new antenna, it won't change. In fact, it'll probably replace the antenna, but it's not going to change, add a tower or anything like that.
So there might be one more something on the antenna, maybe.
No, no. There has to be one, because if you put two that close together, they'll...
It's been a while, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a shared antenna.
Okay, so shared antenna.
Yep.
And it may be a new antenna.
It may be a new
antenna. Okay, I'll get back to Phil on that. The question that Phil had was that you and Tom Cubbins were working on the access to get larger equipment up on the other side, and that's why I emailed you.
Yeah. So I don't have much to report. I didn't get Mr. Hadley's contact information until just recently, and I have left him a message with some degree of explanation as to what we're looking for. I think what we're looking for with him right now would be an approval in general, and then we'd need somebody to write something up legally, and I'm probably not the person to do that. So,
if we get general approval, then I guess we can go to that.
Right, that's what I figured. So as soon as I hear something back from him, I will let you know, and if he's amenable to it, then we'll. If he's not, I don't know what the hell we do, honestly, because it's the only way in.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much the hell with 4-wheeler in the summer, but that's
right. You're not, and they don't come with 4-wheeler; they come with their truck. So we've never had a problem in the past, but we haven't had to be there since Mr. Hadley's on the property.
Let's hope that he's amenable.
Yeah.
But we aren't going to do anything about that. And I did. Phil said that he's dealing with a different lawyer now. I guess Webster changed the lawyer or something. And so, but he's working on it. And you work on the back half, and maybe we can get that done. Any other questions regarding that issue? I did express to Phil that license was going to run out in March. He said.
Yes.
End of February.
End of February.
And so. Phil is aware of that. Plumbing issues, that's on the town hall here and the brick building. There wasn't any water. That switch went bad. Do we want to investigate, get some prices for getting that pump and the switches either into brick building, or do you want to bring the electricals and the pump back to here and have it so that water would run on the generator?
Should we get some recommendations? Who would know the best approach?
Well, I don't know either, but I did not feel comfortable going and getting recommendations and everything without the board's interest in even trying to straighten out the mess.
Yeah, I mean, we should...
Recommendations at the minimum.
Yeah, get some recommendations.
And some kind of estimate as to what it might cost.
Right.
Okay, I will take care of that. Slack software. That was you, John.
That was me. So you use Slack. If you're interested, I'll send that out.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
You
don't
know what the acronym for
it is. Yeah, I don't offhand, but no, it's an industry standard.
Yeah, so it's, I forget how long it's been around. We've been using it at work for a year now. And it's email on steroids as opposed to $200. It's, to me, it's a lot easier than email, basically. It allows you to have different groups or topics for different things and helps keep them organized instead of having to search down a list of 500 names of email. You can do direct messages with somebody, you can set it up so you've got listeners who talk back and forth, you can have a whole town line, whatever you post, just paying off here. I can certainly do something on the projector at a meeting if people are interested in it. You can go on their website. They have, you can add it for free. The only caveat with the free one is it's only saved your most recent 10,000 messages, and after that they disappear. A lot more than you can pay for it. But
which we'd have to do for public records retention.
Right. So, but if you pay for the basic service, then it's indefinite. So,
how does this integrate with what Bob Merrill is doing for us? Would it, I mean, is it a good time to do it if Bob's on board?
I know we can talk. Somebody can talk with Bob about it and see how that would integrate with Bob as well. God,
he's probably familiar with it too. Or not directly.
Every business pretty much out there uses it.
So would that your smoke replace the Office 365?
No, not necessarily, because it's not really a document repository. It's more of it's more of just a communication thread. And you basically, you've got, as you sign up, you can have different channels or different groups and organize your conversations that way. But it's actually pretty good because you can have road maintenance, just for instance, and you can have that rather than having however many different email messages related to what's going on with road maintenance and hunting to find, oh, where's that email that we talked about, whatever. You actually have this long thread of a very easily searchable in just one continuous
group. It's also secure and encrypted, unlike email where you get junk stuff.
Mark?
So is it just merely indexing your emails?
No.
So that you can do a word search?
It would be 99% place of email, basically.
So it's not an email program?
Nope.
No.
It's a collaboration tool.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like SharePoint?
No, it's not. No, SharePoint is more of a document repository.
But everyone has access to it and just puts into on a particular.
So you could, you invite, it'd be what I would see, envision seeing it. It would be a tool for any public official in town. And then within that, you can make whoever you choose to be your admin or admins are responsible for, there's what you call public group, so to speak. That anybody that is within the umbrella of the town of Concord Slack account can view anything that gets posted to those. They get to choose whether I want to see, you know, if the listeners want to communicate something outside of their closed, so they can have a closed group.
Right. Yeah.
As
no,
an email would be a closed group. And if you want to invite different people to that, then it's up to them who gets invited into that, or they can, so you can have private groups and public groups.
I'm just trying to figure out what the benefit is to this program.
Instead of having 10,000 long emails, you can get in and go into the, you know, select board, whatever, the select board can have a sub-account for trucks. All right, so what was our last truck discussion? And you can go in there and everything that's pertinent to this truck purchase. I mean, it's been shared with the... in that, instead of having to go down, well, how many months ago was this?
So share through email, or are you talking about pulling your minutes in and then, you know, being able to plug in what was said at this meeting and what was said at that meeting under that subject?
I don't know if you get that in depth, but I suppose you could.
Probably could, but I don't think that would be the meeting.
Yeah.
Do you get to download your all emails and keep them in an external drive, or is it all there on cloud-based on their own servers, so that once you, if you ever stop the communicate, the subscription that you're paying for, that you can't get that stuff back? That's the way emergency reporting software works.
Are you talking about email or talking about this solution?
Well, the Slack solution, if you're using, whether it be for emails or whatever communications or files that you're using, they're storing that, I presume, on their servers. You're paying a subscription
right,
for not only the software, but for their data, for them holding your data. Well, if you stop that subscription, how do you get, now, how do you access that data that they have?
It's a good question. I would presume, but I don't really know the answer, that you could basically download all of that and back it up. I would assume that they have that capability, but I don't know for sure.
We had a program called Emergency Reporting Software, and they did not allow us to do that. It was all on their servers.
I'm looking at their. It basically says you can export to download all your code. So it's got different options for exporting. What they're calling workspaces. Yeah, that's pretty standard kind of thing. Okay.
So I don't know if this is interesting to others to look into it further or not, but we've been using it at work, and it's certainly nicer than the email, in my opinion, so I figured that would.
I think we've got to get some more information on it and talk about it some more. At a future date.
Okay. And the other alternative is we can test the free version at some point. Go from there as well. So
I think we should get some more particulars as to how it's going to work before we go too crazy, if that's okay with you.
Fine with me.
Purple crayon update.
So I put out an email to everybody, and if next Wednesday is good for a special meeting, we can have Joe join us for an executive session, and we can talk about in much greater detail where we're at, since that detail is still confidential. But the non-confidential update is that we, as of last Friday, Frank and I, we all collectively, between Frank, Joe, and I, agreed on a draft counter proposal to Purple Crown. So Purple Crown, just to back up a little bit, we had proposed to Purple Crown quite some time ago some settlement language that really mostly revolved around, well, I don't want to get too, I'm going to try and keep it general. But it was mostly related to a narrow issue. And then some time passed and we didn't get a response. And then we did get a response, and the response from Purple Crown was much bigger. And so we took some time to think about it, and then we met with Purple Crown again. And then, as I mentioned, as of last Friday, we provided some feedback to them on their counter proposal. So we countered their counter proposal. That's in their hands now. And now we're at the point where I hope that we're close to final settlement language. I hope, fingers crossed, and that now's the time to get the board, everybody, talking about rallying around or not, you know, working through the details of this latest, so that we're prepared for when Purple Crown comes back. If they say, yeah, it looks good to us, we can say, it looks good to us too. let's go final, or whether we need to make further modifications. So I think things are far enough along now that it's time to start socializing this so that we can get that broader buy-in. And so that's what we should do next Wednesday.
Are you going to give us that document ahead of time so that we can read it?
I'll leave that up to Joe. The only reason I hesitate is I don't know whether he wants to distribute that or not. I'll ask him. If he does, it's fine.
Well, the reason I ask is you and Frank have been breathing and living this for 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah.
And we have not.
Right.
And so in order for us to make any sense of the document, we kind of need to read it ahead of time in order to get some idea as to where they or you or Joe thinks we're going.
Yeah.
And so it would be, I would think it would be, to have an intelligent discussion, it would be wise if we all got that a couple of days ahead. I do understand the confidentiality issue.
Yeah.
However, one can't make an intelligent decision if one only has 10 minutes to look at a document.
So I think I would prefer to defer to Joe on that. If he's,
well, that's fine.
I'm just asking. Last meeting, I advocated that the board get their original proposal and our new one so they could take a look back at what they proposed and then see what we proposed. And then may not sit with anyone, but I agree. So I think we could just... I can send it because I wasn't sure where I can send it or how I can send it and make it confidential.
Right.
So if we can do that, let's get a hold of Joe. And I think
I'll ask him tomorrow.
It certainly seems amenable to tell him that I'm certainly in favor.
So are we going to then schedule a meeting next Wednesday, the 24th? Tuesday, there's a Planning Commission hearing. And Monday there's a Board of Civil Authority meeting. Is that what you, and is Joe available?
Yeah, Joe's available.
And what time do you want to schedule that meeting?
He didn't say, but I guess my personal preference would be on the earlier side, so make it 6.
Any other
people want.
24th is available on the calendar.
Time?
6 o'clock,
24th, okay.
Who's Joe?
Joe
McLean, the attorney. McLean.
Emily, is this a meeting, an executive session?
It will be, because it's negotiations. Okay, I would like to deviate from this thing. Well, because Ellen is still here, I believe, or maybe she left. I have this generator contract that they have set forth for annual or every 6 months visits for this Brookfield service. A complete annual is going to be $1,227, or two visits a year is going to be $1,841. They have an anniversary promotion that if we do this before schedule this before or pay before July 31st, we can get $1,227 worth of service for $1,104. And so if we That's want to get this done, we
are... 1 year.
Correct, yeah.
Did we add this to the agenda when we started?
We did not. However, I did not. It was in this. I did not know it was there. It's time sensitive. If you don't feel we can do that, that's fine.
We technically can, but we do it next week. Because we're still going to meet at the special meeting.
Yep.
Can we just do it then?
Yep.
Do it on the
Yes.
So that contract, that's from Brookfield Service?
Yes.
Okay. And they offered, I spoke to them, which was probably back in the spring, they offered us a similar proposal for the fire department. And I got the details of the difference between the one and the two. And the fire department felt that we were okay with just the one.
I'm
going to deal with the money.
Okay, open meeting law violation and rediscussion revote on website access management.
Yep, so I asked her to stay on the agenda. So there was a discussion last week, which since I missed the meeting, I listened to the recording afterward. And I confirmed in listening to the recording that it had not been warned on the agenda to discuss access and management of the website. And there was a vote that took place to authorize only the town clerk and our select board assistant to be the only people with rights on the website. So it's my view that is a clear violation of open meeting law. And so therefore that decision is null and void. However, if we want to, now that it's on the agenda, we can talk about it again and go through the same conversation, which happy to do. I think it's also, without getting into the particulars on what happened last week, I think it's good that now that I can participate in this conversation, it will be good for me to be able to express my viewpoints. So that's what I think is the right course of action.
Just for the sake of discussion, I thought we were, and I guess I missed the intent, I thought that our intent was to all agree that we're going to use the text-based methodology just so that it's easier for the lay person to do it, which is fine. And I also thought we agreed that Becky and Cynthia would post select board type stuff. There was no question about that. I guess I didn't realize in our vote that we were restricting who could participate on the website activities. And I think that's probably not appropriate. I think at least what I was getting from the meeting was we were going to pick the text base so that, you know, if it fell to someone else, they could go ahead and do it, because we're certainly not code people. I don't have a problem with Becky and Cynthia handling the select board stuff. However, I think they're, I don't know, there are other things that perhaps need to happen on the website, and restricting folks just for the sake of restricting is not appropriate. In fact, it would be good if we had someone who's a backup that could do that too. So, yeah, I don't think I quite understood what we were voting on. So
one thing I want to point out that I heard on the recording is I think there's a misunderstanding that took place at the meeting last week. About this text-based versus HTML. It's really kind of a red herring, because that's not... It's really two different ways to get to the same place. But ultimately, everything ends up as markup language.
Well,
it's just a preference as to how one person enters that information versus another. So some people are comfortable writing in HTML, and then it converts it to the markup, and then it renders it. And then other people are comfortable working in a text-based editor, but the end result is the same. I think there was a misunderstanding in the conversation that happened last week, because underneath the hood, it's all markup. Whether you start it through the text editor, it's all going to end up as markup language at the code level, because it's all going to be code, one way or the other. So there was a misunderstanding there that somehow we've got this disjointed situation with the website, that some stuff is in HTML and other stuff is in text. And that's just not true. And if Bob were here, he'd say the same thing to you, is that it all ends up being code in the end. That's just the nature of it. It's a little bit different, but at any rate.
So then, is there a way that when you're off the website, and if it's you get in and everything that's on your site is in code, you can push a button so you know what the heck you're doing? Because
these are different. So when you edit the website, there are different blocks you can choose. So when you're building a page, right? This is, I don't know if you may be familiar with this, but when you're building a website, you have different block, they're called blocks. And you can choose which block you're going to use, whether you're going to use a text editing block or an HTML block or a code block. And so that's when you are editing a page, that's a choice you make when you create this page. So Bob, again, would tell you if you were sitting here that when the select board's page, meeting page, was created, he made, not me, not anyone else, Bob made a conscious choice for that block to be a code block. And it has to do with some limitations in the text editing blocks that, because there's so much information in our meeting page, it's not like a simple, there's a lot of stuff there. And you run into some limitations when you, and so you get away from some of those limitations when you're using HTML or code block.
So I guess my question is then, without getting into the weeds, how do we make it for people like Cynthia and Becky, who cannot do HTML, to be able to get onto the select board records page and be able to post things?
So what that would require, there's different ways to do it, but what that would require is basically re-engineering that page. And what you would do is you would just back it up, right? Just create a backup of that page, and then create a new page that uses different blocks. And then you basically just port over all the data from the backup into the new blocks, and that way the newly created page is all in basically text blocks. And that would accommodate what we're talking about here. So if that's something we want to do, that's certainly something we can do. But I think there was a misunderstanding last week that people are changing things from one type to another, and that's not the case.
When I started it, I have done HTML limited, and it's been years until I had to refigure out basically what I've been doing when I've posting stuff is just copy and paste.
Sure,
from just my previous line. And then,
exactly.
Well, there it goes by file number, so I put the file number in the name, and it works.
Got it.
But when I first got on Becky's setup, it has a new blog above what was already there. So that's what I was putting in, what I would call putting in as plain text, which may not be the correct term, but I think you understand.
I know what you're saying.
And it showed up okay. And then at some point that got turned into code. Again, it doesn't matter how it happened. And then I created, not even knowing how I figured it out, created a new block so Cynthia could post stuff. And then there was some kind of an issue where it didn't get changed, but some of it disappeared. And that may be a product of either A, somebody changing it, or B, not the two things belonging on the same page and some computer issue. It went away.
Yep.
In the end, we just need to, at the select board level, have some kind of an understanding as to what path we're going to go down to make it work for the people that need to use it.
Sure.
That's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
That's all that I really care about.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And just to explain, so without getting into too much of the weeds, I think the core issue here is not one of who has access. It's that we're coordinated in what we're doing. So that if I do something, everybody's aware of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So it's a communication issue. It's not a somebody's doing something wrong and therefore their access should be taken away. It's let's make sure that we're all talking to each other and understanding. Because what I can tell you is that back, whenever it was, recently there was, because of the limitation of that text block kind of describing to you, it started doing some really goofy stuff no matter how many times I tried to save the page with the new edits, it kept reverting back to an old version of the page.
Well, at one point, there was I don't want to happen over a couple of days or one day or one. I, there was some comment that went around about somebody tried to access something and it wasn't there, and I had gotten on the page and the information was there, I believe. I'm not sure if it's that way the order out, it doesn't matter. Either I got on the page, the information was there, but when I went to edit it, none of the information was there, and it was still showing up. Or it was there to edit, but it wasn't showing up on the page, and I can't remember which way it was happening, and then a couple hours later it was gone.
So because of the amount of data on that page, it started doing some really, really squirrely stuff. Right? And I actually talked about this. And it just kept, I could not get it to write itself. It just kept going squirrely. And so what I did was I took it back to all being basically codified. And then that fixed the problem. The problem was that I did that, and I think somehow in the midst of the conversation that occurred last week, there was a perception that Scott's goofing around with the website, and I'm not doing anything of the sort. I'm actually, and Bob, you know, Bob says it very clearly in his email to Ellen. Scott definitely understands how and does it efficiently in terms of managing the website. So at least Bob has confidence in me that I know what I'm doing. And
I don't have any doubt that you know how to write and do it efficiently. I know I can make it work and I can make it show up.
Yeah.
Which is half the game, at least if you can do that, you can get the information there. Right. But we do need to work.
So the matter at hand is what we've got to get it so Cynthia and Becky can do their work for us. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, can we ask Bob to make that happen?
We can, and I can too. I certainly can, if we don't, we can certainly pay Bob to do that, but I'm also capable of doing that. And I'm happy to work with Cynthia to
can
get
I say
it.
Something?
Yeah, either way.
Becky put a text box in, and I have no problem with that.
Yep.
My problem is to go into the archive stuff to replace the draft minutes with approved minutes.
On the archive page, or
on the list that are not in my current text box.
Yeah.
That I don't. I have no idea how to retrieve and replace.
Okay.
Okay. And it's not that I can't use code. I don't see there's a reason to. So
certainly, to Frank's point, if we want to try and set it so it's like as easy as possible for you, we can restructure the page.
Okay.
But part of the issue, and this may speak to some of the squirreliness, is that we have different types of blocks
right.
on the same page,
right.
which isn't inherently a problem. But it can become a problem when you start to have so much conflict.
How many years do you have to have it displayed?
You know, this is another issue. It's a public records issue. And because we have not, as a town, adopted a records retention schedule,
right.
by law, we're actually required to keep everything. That doesn't mean we have to keep everything on the website.
Or on that page.
We just have to make sure it is available for inspection by the public.
Right.
Now, the website is clearly the easiest way to make it available for inspection. But we could just as easily retire that stuff digitally. We could put it on SharePoint. Neil, when you know you had your records request and you got through the bumps, I think you said you found it to work okay, right, to get access to SharePoint. So we don't have to put them on the website, but we could certainly offload it from the website and put it somewhere else so it's almost as easy to access it.
Could you just move it to an archival page versus having...
Which is what I did.
Well, I was just going to say, if you just did it every year,
so that to get around the squirreliness, that's actually exactly what I did. Was I created an archive page and put all the old stuff there. So... at any rate, I think the issue that we're really talking about is not really one of access, but it's one of, I guess, consistency and ease of use, and also communication to make sure that whoever is doing anything, we're just talking to each other and making sure there's an understanding of what the heck is going on. And you know, I guess I'll just say that some of the changes that I've made were around formatting that we have, and people may have different opinions on this, but we have done things in a very consistent way, and I know part of the conversation last week was around consistency around text and so forth. But, you know, it's just making sure that we are consistent. So I think really the lesson learned here is that, A, we need to talk to each other. B, let's figure out how to make it as easy as possible for people who aren't as knowledgeable. And also, I guess, agree on just formatting standards and all that.
Where do I find those standards?
Well, we make those up. That's up to us.
Okay.
We can choose those standards. So.
Well, the reason this topic came up, and I'm sure if you listened to the recording multiple times, you understood that, and the question that I had was that I had made the effort to get all these documents and everything together, and they did not show up with the agenda. And I found it, and I still find it, frustrating. I don't know where they went. I know that you changed the agenda. You left a couple things out of the agenda, which we put back on. But that is, if one expects the agenda and the documents that go with it to be there, and then it finds that they're not there, and I don't care whose fault it was, it doesn't make any difference to me. It is frustrating. And if you can't understand that, then there is a real problem, because in order to make an intelligent decision, you need the documents and you need to be able to see them. As far as I would prefer personally to be able to let Becky or Cindy put the agendas up, put the documentation up, which Cindy did do this week and go along just fine with, and then have it be there. And quite frankly, I don't think that from a security point of view, the more people that have access to any of this website and stuff, the more you are laying yourself open to things happening that shouldn't happen. And I still feel that way. And if you feel that people are blaming you, if you don't have access, they won't blame you. Just like I don't have access, and they don't blame me, because I can't get there from here. So it's not my fault if it doesn't show up. So I think we should put it in plain language so that Becky could post if she had to, or Cindy could post, which obviously she was able to do this week, and perhaps things can run smoother.
So just to speak to the issues you raised, Emily, so first, I want to apologize. I went back and looked. We all make mistakes. I made a mistake. So there was no malintent. It was an honest mistake that Cynthia did send me the attachments, and I simply did not, when I published the agenda, did not get them in there. I will say, however, one time does not make me, permanently flawed. I think we had a special meeting, whenever it was, just recently to approve a catering permit. The permit was not included in the attachments. And we have a history, as I pointed out. We have a history on the select board. This is not recent history, this goes back quite a bit, that we have consistently failed to include attachments in our meeting agendas. Neil has pointed it out many times. So this is not a new issue, and so this is not about me. It's not about any one of us. This is about collective commitment to making sure that when there are attachments, we just get it there. And I guess we also have, in my view, a joint responsibility. Just because one person makes a mistake, I think we all, every select board member, has a responsibility to take a peek at the agenda and make sure everything's on there. And if somebody missed something, say, hey, you missed something. Let's get it updated. And it's honestly not a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal. And I appreciate everything you're saying, Emily, but let's not turn it into something bigger than it really is.
I never intended to do that stuff.
Okay.
I just got frustrated, and I have, when you spend the time to put all these things together and you go through it all, it is disheartening to see that your board members do not have the information that you intended to send them. That's all I am saying. It is a waste of my time if it isn't going to get to the end user. And it's also an uninformed decision on the part of the board members that didn't see all the information and that I tried to share, but it didn't get there. And if you don't understand that frustration, I'm sorry, but that's how I feel, because I made the effort to try and do better, to listen to Neil's comments that indeed we should have these things in the packet. They're all public information. There's nothing in there that's secret.
So
we can't fix it if we don't try to fix it.
I just want to say that over the past however many years, I have actually probably been the most vocal on the select board about making sure that we have the attachments, that we make sure that we do this stuff right. I've said this over and over again. When Michael was the clerk, I repeatedly needled him to make sure, dude, get the attachments in the agenda. So I guess I'm not disagreeing with you, Emily. I guess what I'm saying is I am just as much of an advocate for what you're saying as you are. And I agree with you. We need to collectively commit ourselves to make sure we do it. So I don't think there's any disagreement. One thing I do want to mention is that this ratcheting down of access to the website is actually not the way it's done. Typically, when you have, we're not admins of the website. We are really content editors. That's really, in IT speak, we're all content editors of the website. And that's actually the norm, to have more people with the ability to put content on a website. The issue that we face is the same that other organizations, other private sector companies face, is making sure that the content that's being put up is consistent, that there's consistent formatting, we're doing things in consistent ways. So I actually think the right direction to go is to allow people to put content up, but to make sure that, A, we're communicating with each other as to what content is either going up or is being changed. And B, that when these things occur, that going back to what's best for Cynthia is making sure that we are structuring the website in a way that is formatted for people who aren't as sophisticated in putting up content. So I think that's really the best approach to go.
I think that the intent was to limit the access to certain people, and then that way you also have an accountability. It wasn't specifically to take certain individuals' control of access away. Even though that's what happened, that was not the intent to punish any certain individual. But it was the effort was to get control over who had access, and then you could hold them accountable for the stuff that was supposed to be there.
Well, I'd like to...
Sometimes,
yeah,
the more hands that you have in the pie is too much.
I would disagree with you, because there's an email from Ellen to Tad Richardson, which says something very different than what you're saying right now. So that's, there was explicit email exchange before the last meeting that basically was about taking access away from one person.
Ellen?
So my understanding of this whole issue is that after Jonathan Williams left, there was really no one who was posting minutes. Mike Reese took over for him, but there was a bit of a vacuum that was left after Jonathan Williams left. Cynthia has been hired to be the secretary for the board and to do the postings to the website that the select board would like to see. And as an outsider looking in, my understanding has been that that's Cynthia's job. It's on her job description. It's what she was hired to do. It's what she should be doing. And quite frankly, I think that most of the discussion that we have just been party to is one person's explanation of trying to make sure that he continues to be able to access the website and post things the way he wants to. And maybe it's the baffledom with IT talk and other things, but most of the people around this room don't understand a whole lot about websites. I certainly do not. But what we're trying to get to is accountability, so that when items are posted, they stay there, they don't get changed. If a past select board wanted to have a certain format for their minutes or for their agenda, there is no requirement that the current select board continue in that format. There are different formats all over the state for the way minutes are posted and agendas are up there. I would just simply vote in favor of saying that it's Cynthia's job. Let her do it.
So I want to speak to that. Just for the record, I have had content editing rights to the website for probably 4 or 5 years. So ever since I first joined the select board, from day one, I've had those content editing. It has nothing to do with Jonathan being the select board assistant or Jonathan leaving. My access to the website preceded that long before. So that's not the case. I've had editing, and actually I suspect, I don't know for sure, that basically, I don't know what Bob would say if he were here, but I'm pretty sure he would say that there were certain people based upon their roles and based upon their capabilities that had editing rights. And I'm sorry, Ellen, if you think I'm trying to baffle people with IT speak, I'm trying to speak very plainly. Really, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the issues really are around making sure that I don't think this is IT speak. It is, let's talk to each other. Let's talk to each other what we're doing. Make sure everybody knows. And let's agree on what the best format is and go forward from there.
And I see. I think we've got, you know, there's an issue and or perceived issues here. I see no problem in theory with multiple people having access to do things on the website as long as they are responsible for posting whatever it is that they need to post. If there is a content issue, whether it be something that is not there, that's not supposed to be there, or has been posted in an incorrect way and needs to be corrected, then we need some kind of a process that the person that finds that notifies the person that they think is responsible for putting it there and let them know, hey, this needs to be changed, this needs to be added. Would you like to do it, or would you like me to do it? And not doing it on their own. The problem that happens is when somebody changes somebody else's post on their own, no matter how good the intent is, especially if it doesn't come out as the way the person that posted it would think that it should be there without that person being notified, then it leads to where we are right now. It leads to the perception of distrust, and it leads to the perception of I'm trying to do something behind your back, whether or not that's intended. But once you've gone down that road, it leads to difficult situations. And if we can just be above board and post what we as an individual are responsible for and have a clear outline of what different people are responsible for, and when they see something that needs attention, to let somebody else know, then we can avoid situations such as what we have gotten ourselves into.
I agree with you 100%. And that's what when I'm saying we need to communicate.
And in all honesty, that probably started with myself when I started posting stuff and Becky put the plain text box in for me. I should have said something at that point. I don't know what I'm doing. Becky's done this so I can post stuff. We need to have a discussion about how we're going to post stuff.
Right.
And in all honesty, that's where it should have started, but it didn't. And so
part of this too is so I think I don't want to get into the mistrust part, and I'll acknowledge up front that I agree with everything you're saying, is that if I shouldn't go in and just change something because I think it should be changed. I think you're right.
That I mean, it's easy to do.
But you're hitting on the communication part that I'm trying to elaborate on, is that we should be talking to each other. And I agree with you that if Cynthia is responsible for certain content, I shouldn't go and change it. I should say, hey, Cynthia, I'm seeing this. Do you want to go change it yourself? Or would you like me to? Take the bit.
Which I did this week.
So
I sent her a thing about the agenda, and
yeah, and she made the change,
and she sent back, said, got it done.
So we just need to do more of that, is what I'm saying. And I think that I think part of this too is wrapped up in transition, right? Because what we have is when Michael left the board, he was really confident in doing this stuff, and then. When we had a gap in time, we were just sort of filling the gap. Cynthia came on board, and Cynthia's been trying to get up to speed on how to do a lot of this stuff. And so some of this is just around, we went from a place of having somebody who could do it soup to nuts to being in sort of a transition state.
Well, I'm certainly capable of doing it. I just need some training. But
yeah.
And I want everybody to know, I did ask Scott for some
time. And we just haven't had a chance to... I mean, life is busy, and it's hard to sit down and find time.
Do we end this?
No, because I have three public comments that have been waiting for some time.
Okay.
With their hands up a while, and they need to... They ought to be first.
Sure. All right.
Neil and Ona. Whoever wants to go first.
Cool.
Okay, one, I find it very hard that there's a select board member sitting at that table right now that did not know what he was voting on last week after the whole total discussion. Two, there's another select board member sitting at that table right now that said it wasn't a conflict, he doesn't want accusing. The first sentence is out of his mouth of this whole 20-minute conversation was that he felt that he was being kicked off. Three, is he acting as a total select board member when he comes in and changes everything, or do you need to have the majority vote? Four, if you leave just two people on there that nobody else can change, that would end this whole business, and we haven't had these problems until the last 4 or 5 years.
Neil, did you have anything to say?
Yes. You don't have a 50,000 employee organization website. You have a website that's got five people that do the business on it and some other little incidental stuff. Two people can handle that easily. Let them do it.
Yes?
May I ask Scott a couple of questions?
Well, I really would like to get this over with because it's getting late and we aren't all the way done.
Just for clarification. So I heard you say earlier that the vote was null and void because of a open meeting law violation. What was that?
That it wasn't warned on. The discussion and the vote that took place last week was not on the agenda.
Okay. And so was that based on your interpretation of the open meeting law rules, or was that based on the VLCT?
That is black letter law that you cannot take action on something that's not on the agenda.
And the last question is, so what does this put, let's say that it was null and void, where does this put Cynthia and Becky? Do you have to do another vote, or?
If the vote that took place last week is to stand, the same motion needs to be put forward today and voted on in the same way.
So I'm looking to get this discussion over with just because it's late. So I need a motion. Do you want to make a motion, John? That you were the one that made it last time. Or do you not feel comfortable doing that?
I'll make the motion, so I suppose we can further discuss.
Well, we need to get this solved, and beating around the bush is not going to help us. So let's get it done with, and up or down, we'll make a motion and vote it up or down, and then we will try and move on with the consequences. Because I don't want to be here till midnight.
Well, my question is, I think we've talked about this, and I'm hoping that we have somewhat resolved this. I think that we all agree that we asked Bob to make it easy for Cynthia to post stuff. And, you know, that's where, you know, it's been a bunch of people doing different things, and you know, some of us that try to help Cynthia and whatnot. And
I understand what you're saying, Frank. The problem is, in order to change the format so that she can do it in plain language versus HTML, is we have to make a motion to ask Bob Merrill to do that.
Okay. Well,
if we only
I need to ask one question from Scott, and then I know how I'm going to deal with the matter personally. So, and after I make just a brief statement, we've decided with Jimmy about the creative that we're at where we're at, we need to move on. Personally, we're at where we're at with this whole other discussion, and we need to move on. To be okay with that, I need a commitment from Scott that whatever we decide that we come up with for the website, whether or not he continues to have access, that he's not going to change things without asking the original poster about, hey, what's going on? If what the perceived problem is continues to be a perceived or real problem, then personally I will deal with that when that happens. But to me, we need to be able to trust each other on the board. If we can't, we need to do something about that. Yeah. But moving forward, we need to be able to trust each other. First, I still am not completely where I stand on that. But at some point, we've got to go somewhere. And so if he can make that commitment, then I am not going to support what I did support last week. If that changes by next meeting or next year, then I will change and we will go down this road if necessary.
You have my merit.
I still need a motion to determine whether we're going to put this in plain language so that Cindy, or whether we're going to leave it in HTML, and whether Scott is or is not on the website.
I
need a motion.
That who is going to be the person that talks to Bob about this? So I need that.
I'll let Becky talk to Bob.
Okay.
Because she's
I make a motion that Becky talk to Bob about arranging for the Select Board correspondence page to be altered or edited so that A, it's functional for what's currently there, and so that Cynthia and anybody else that's going to post there, whoever that may be that has access currently or in the future, does it in plain text, and that is the only way that things will be posted to that website.
Okay. Wait a minute. Can we just stop there and get through that part of the issue so that we can make a decision on part of the problem that has occurred? Can we do that?
Yep.
I've already seconded.
Okay. I would like a vote on this. I think we've talked about it enough.
I just want to say one thing. Is I'm happy to vote in the affirmative on this. And I think that it is a bit of a red herring discussion, but it's fine. We can vote on that, and then Bob can sort it all out. But it's fine.
All right. So we have the motion on the floor that has been made by John, seconded by Frank, to post things, to get Bob Merrill to post, be able to post things on the website in plain language, not HTML. Are we all in agreement that's what we said?
Yep.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hallelujah. Now we're going to deal with the second half of the issue, which was done incorrectly. And we need to get a motion to say either Scott retains his access or he does not. And so I need a motion, and so we can get that part of the issue squared away, and then we can move on.
Or we can not take action and just let it ride away.
Well, right now, let's to clarify, right now, he does not have access. So whether that was legal or not remains to be seen. Scott says it is not. I do think that it's in our best interest to put this together and make it a motion that is legal. It was on the agenda. It was on the warning, and then we won't have any confusion as to what and all we did or did not do. Let's just make it. Let's just deal with it and get it squared away, and take the time to get it squared away and be done with it. Then we will have everything that we need so that business can occur however it's going to occur.
Are we talking about posting or just access to the website?
Access to the website and posting are one and the same. I will entertain any motion.
All right. I move that the select board authorize Cynthia Hewitt, Rebecca Fielder, and Scott Woodward to have access to the website.
Can I amend that motion to include that Becky and Cynthia will only be posting to the select board site, rather agenda, minutes, and documents? Would you be willing to get along with that? So that we have two people that can post, and anybody else that has a problem with what gets posted will have to touch base with one of them to get it changed.
I'm not sure what the implications of that are.
The implications are that she is in charge of getting our minutes posted, our agendas posted, our notices done, and so it falls on her. So if there's a problem with them, if John or Scott or anybody, if we find a problem, we get hold of Cindy and say, Cindy, this is missing. You need to straighten that out. Or you, any of us. Or a person from the general public.
Keeps the warrant access.
The negatives, mate.
Well,
the only thing I've been posting is the recording.
Which is still something. So I will ask to amend my motion to add John Peters also. And I think we can move.
How do
we
get to one alteration at a time?
Well, it didn't get seconded.
Oh, okay.
No one seconded my motion. So.
Or seconded my motion.
We don't have a second. Can I make a new motion?
Sure.
Well, there's a motion on the table.
Oh, my God.
Frank's original motion is still.
Is it something like mine?
Frank hasn't
striked
there
without
seconding, so
there's no. I'll retract mine because John has been quite eloquent tonight, and I hope that he'll do a good job.
So I make a motion that we allow access to Becky and Cynthia for posting select board minutes. Was there anything else to
get
agendas and attachments?
And warning.
Correspondence page, and that Scott and John have access as requested by either Becky or Cynthia or the select board.
Access as requested?
To have access and to post as requested.
So to have access and only make changes or additions
requested by either one of those two or the select board.
Fine, I can deal with that.
All right.
Sounds great to me.
Second. Thank you, John.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you.
That's what I
any opposed?
Say, right?
Yeah.
Emily?
Yes.
So I would just like to clarify something because Becky posts other board's minutes besides the select board, and your motion only said select board minutes,
this motion is only dealing with the select board correspondence.
Okay. So Becky's been doing all the other stuff,
and she's still her user.
She has access, and she is the administrator,
okay.
And so she can do that.
Okay.
And she's been doing it, and I think it's wonderful. Moving on. Are we ready to move on? Good. Election of set board or select board clerk. We tabled this at the last meeting because you weren't there.
Yeah, I mean,
you put that on.
I brought this up because I guess I'm willing to offer to be the clerk. I don't know that we need one after what we just talked about. It's kind of hard to had this conversation, but I feel like I guess I'll just voice my general concern, and it sounds like we're getting closer to committing ourselves, and all this talk around the website, committing ourselves to doing better. And I guess my personal feeling is that that, as I sort of alluded to in the last discussion, we're kind of in a, I think we're in a transition mode. And I think the conversation we just had about being committed to doing things a certain way and talking to each other and collaborating and coordinating, my hope is that we don't need to elect a select board chair to make all of that happen, that we can get to where, I'm sorry, clerk. We don't need to elect a clerk, because now I feel like we're really starting to move in the right direction around getting this stuff tidied up. You know, things have kind of gotten a little bit off kilter since Michael left the board. And, you know, I think Michael did a really great job keeping us together on everything, not just the website, but the minutes and all that. So I guess I'm not sure that there's really anything for us to do here anymore. I feel like we're moving in the right direction. I feel like the commitment is there to do better.
Then can we just move over this at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd like to hear from the rest of the board if they feel the same way. Does everybody feel that we're now moving in the right direction?
I hope so. And the, to tell you the truth, the clerk and the select board assistant are somewhat redundant. Yeah. So let's move on.
Hello,
Just for clarification, so there's going to be no election for the select board clerk now?
Not today.
Okay, not today.
No guarantees for next week or tomorrow. Status and disposition of financial management committee. Ellen is still here, and she's been working on that with Nancy. Would you like to say a few words as to how you're coming along? Because I know you and she have been meeting.
So, Nancy and I have been working on various policies for the financial committee. We have not been including Emily in the procedures right now in the discussion because she's incredibly busy with her name. And when Nancy and I have fine-tuned things, then we are, and Emily had time, we are going to include her so that we can have a three-way discussion, explain how Nancy and I have arrived at the drafts that we would ultimately present and take it from there.
So do you think you'll have something to bring to the board sometime soon?
I think sometime soon. I'm over the top with my end of fiscal year and the problems we're having with the tax bills right now.
We might have a goal of, which is what our original goal was, of maybe November.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So that we got there before budget time?
Yeah, that would be the key.
And that was kind of our goal to begin with. I don't want to speak for them because, as she said, I haven't been meeting with them. And I'm not going to for a while yet.
Have you guys been taking minutes, even though, I mean, anything?
No, we haven't been meeting. I've been writing.
You guys have just been corresponding.
That touched me, and Nancy has been writing drafts of the things that she feels more comfortable writing about, and we've just been sending them back and forth with revisions that we think ought to be made, but we've had no meetings.
Okay.
I think Nancy showed a great amount of, and when we were meeting regularly, Nancy is very good at the minutia of doing these things, and she looks things over very carefully and looks at many other documents in many other towns, and I have every confidence in her and Ellen to get the thing done.
So we're making progress, is the bottom line.
They are making progress.
Who's Nancy?
Nancy Matthews. She's an auditor.
Steve. Can you turn the lights up later on?
Sorry, thank you. Oh.
We have one more agenda.
Sorry about that, though.
Whoa, that guy's walking. Dark.
It's not as bad as the windows in here, so you can still see the light. It's one of the windows are closed. All right, you added this special meetings thing, Scott?
Yeah, I'd like to bring for starters, the board agree to schedule three, let's start with three, special meetings to have an open discussion about how we resolve some of the conflicts and figure out how to get along better, not just the board, but I think more broadly with town government and get clarity on roles and responsibilities. I think we would all benefit from that.
So my question is, it's got to be a public meeting, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't.
Considering there are three meetings next week that we have to attend to, or two that we have to, and one that we don't, and then there'll be one the following. Well, we seventh, maybe not. I'm not real excited about doing a fourth meeting in next week. I just think that, you know, I think that enough is enough.
So I'm
if we can do this sometime in the not too distant future, that's fine. But
what I'm looking for is not the timing right now. We can schedule it. I'm looking for the commitment. Can we commit to doing it?
There is also the possibility of getting a grant from the LTC, a CT, to have someone come down and mediate this kind of activity. And that is also possible. I spoke with Jill Muir about that.
Okay.
I can find out more about that if you're interested. There are scholarships available, otherwise we have to pay. And those scholarships go, but I felt that I had no authority to make any decision one way or another as to whether that was something that the board would want to do or whether the board wants to handle it itself. That's something the board can decide.
I absolutely agree we need someone outside this, because I've been through too many of these things, and you've got to have someone who has the authority to keep the discussion focused. We're not going to solve that on our own. I know that for sure.
Well, why don't I call Jill Muir tomorrow and find out the particulars, and perhaps if we put that on the agenda after the executive session, we could at least discuss the particulars as to whether what kind of things I can get some particulars from her.
Absolutely.
Before next Wednesday's meeting.
I move we authorize Emily to talk to the LCT and Jill Muir about investigating mediation options or other grant opportunities that might help us navigate this.
John, second?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? As I see it, we have now made it through the agenda. We have meeting wrap-up, select board correspondence, review of assignments. So, select board correspondence. I have none. I did send back the contract with Charles Smith. ECS or ESC? ECS. No, ESC. And so he now has that contract signed. I also sent the contract back that you authorized for the state police. And it came up to $21,600. That's going to be a reduction in the number of hours that they spend here. And I did send that back to her. She emailed me the other day and wanted that back, her supervisor. And I thought that I had authority to do that after the last meeting. And so we submitted to the state police for another year. And I would like to remind the people that are left, and also the board members, that is that hearing coming up on Tuesday for the Planning Commission for their new zoning regulations, and I would strongly encourage us, myself included, to read them, and if we have any qualms or concerns, changes that we think might ought to happen before we get into having our hearing for that, we ought to make them known. And I think that's at 6:30, 7?
The 7th, that's on the 23rd.
On the 23rd, so that's next Tuesday.
And you're going to...
I'll ask Joe.
And you're going to ask Joe for Wednesday, right?
He already
confirmed with Joe.
He already confirmed.
Okay.
Did you ask him about publishing?
I'm going to ask him right now.
Okay. So we will need a notice for that, Cindy. An executive session for next Wednesday at 6 o'clock to meet with Joe from McLean regarding our litigation. And also put on the bottom of that maybe the generator maintenance. That would be in a public meeting, which should be pro forma, and also Joe Muir information, or information from Joe Muir, which also will be public. So, do you think Joe would take an hour, Scott?
I hope no more.
So maybe schedule Joe for 6 and the public meeting for 7. And it's
going to be a special
meeting. It will all be a special meeting, but the first part will be executive session, and then the public meeting will have to. So you'll have to do the warnings and the notices and the agenda posting. Anything else? Any other correspondence?
Just a question. Now that we've interviewed the HR for people, we're going to put that on the agenda at some point to discuss that. And do we need to do that in executive session because that's a hire?
No. I don't think it's a contract. We're hiring. It's a contractor. It's not a hiring employee.
Can we put that on the next regular meeting?
Fine with me. So long to get it lost.
Yeah.
And I need from you, Frank, if you would email me who the people were that you sent the sand, other than D&D, the sand RFP to, and I will send that out tomorrow.
I'll look tonight. I know D&D and Pike and
Twin State also.
Twin State. McCullough wanted to get involved last summer. They approached me about something.
If you have that, that would be great. If you can find some kind of contact, or who I might call to get the contact, and I can send them the bid package. If you have that, that would be helpful. I won't deal with it tonight, anyway. And the other thing, just as an aside, I have not been able to find in any of those documents that aggregate price list that you got last year from Pike, and we need to work on that. And I've looked through highway stuff, and I've looked through RFP stuff, and
actually Pike's, they made their, either I gave them a form, or was there a form in the RFP, was there a form that, because it was a handwritten form.
I never found an RFP from aggregate.
The whole RFP. Oh, okay. All right. Well, no, I'm sure.
If you know where you put it, that's great. Or I can call Pike and just get into. We can go from what he has available and then make an RFP.
Yeah. No.
It's got to be there somewhere.
I should be able to find it.
I couldn't find it.
RFP for that.
Yes. Definitely was.
LA, I think they gave us, or maybe made up the sheet of the different size aggregates, and then we told them approximately how much each size, and they gave us the price.
And then Jimmy or Art or you or somebody can get that together. And also, does anyone want to talk fuel and with fuel and diesel fuel and propane?
Yeah.
Does anybody want to get excited about that and do that?
No, I'm not excited about gas.
All right, I'll do that.
But I can.
I'll do it. It's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah. There's only a couple players anyway, really, that can give us everything. Do we have any? Is there anything else we need to do? Are there any other questions from the public? Yes.
This might be out of order, but I would just like to comment that you were verbally assaulted on the way to a meeting here last week. and there's been no public censure or anything here that has spoken on your behalf to try and address the fact that by a member of your own group there, you've been horribly treated. And I think for the people in town, I guess I'm just shocked at the lack of backing from you.
I'll get over it.
I move that we adjourn.
All those in, we need a second?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.